Today's shir is Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. The first words, Upiv Mitzupazov. The Mishnah taught us that if the mouth of the shofar is plated with gold, that was the shofar that was used in the Beis HaMikdash. Ask the Gemara, is a shofar that's plated with gold acceptable? For Tanya Tzipazov, if the shofar was plated with gold, if it was plated, b'mokma nachas peh, where the mouth is put, posel, the shofar is disqualified. Only shloi b'mokma nachas peh, if it was put, it was plated where the mouth is not put, then kosher, the shofar is kosher. Amar Abaya, so answers Abaya, ki tna nami masnisen. When our Mishnah said that the shofar was plated with gold, is referring shloi b'makom hanachas petanan. Our Mishnah is referring to not the place where the mouth rests. There's a machloikus rishonim. What does makom hanachas pet? We just learned that if the shofar is plated with gold, where the mouth rests, it's possible. There's a machloikus rishonim. Exactly where is that? Some say it refers to the rim around the part of the shofar which is put by one's mouth, that place is not allowed to be plated with gold. However, there are rishonim that don't agree to that pshat, because they say that, as we will learn in Mitzvah Shem, if anything is added to the shofar is disqualified, so it would not be disqualified because it was hamakom hanachas peh. They learn that it's talking either, other rishonim learn it's talking from the outside part of the shofar or the inside part of the shofar that have this extra layer of gold. The Mefarshim discuss that the Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah, where the Gemara discusses about Agad Lulav, that a holder is created to put the Lulav into, that why is it not considered a Chatzitza? So the Gemara says, Kol lena oisai, anything made to beautify the mitzvah is not considered a chatzitza. So they ask, why over here, if there's a gold plating put on the shofar, is it considered a chatzitza? Isn't it l'na'oisai? Isn't it there to beautify the shofar? So the Gilyani Hashas answers, based on the Gemara that we learned yesterday, that ein ketega nasa senega, gold put on a shofar is not beautiful, because gold represents Degel Hazov, that's not called beautifying the shofar. Another pshat that I saw is that actually is what the Gemara is saying. If one plates the gold shofar with gold, he's beautifying the shofar, and therefore it's permissible. But if he puts the gold on the place where he's going to put his mouth, so that part anyway won't be seen, because it's going to be covered by the mouth during the Tekiah Shofar. So it won't be Lina Oisai. It won't be a beautification of the Shofar, because it's not visible, and therefore it remains a Chatzitza. Sfas Emes explains that only when the item that's being beautified is there as an independent mitzvah. The Torah tells us to take a lulav, and there's a point to make the lulav beautiful, hider mitzvah. So by using a nice holder, even though theoretically it's a chatzitza, kol ha'noisai ein ha'chaitzit, it's not considered a chatzitza. The point of the shofar is not the shofar. The point of the shofar is the sound that emanates from the shofar. And therefore, there is no concept of kol ha'noisai ein ha'chaitzit. But the Avni Nezer gives another teretz, which is very relevant la'aloch l'maisa. He says, yes, the gold plating on the shofar is not a chatzitza. Kol ha'noisai ein ha'chaitzitz, it's not considered a chatzitza. However, says the Avni Nezer, and the Chida actually says the same din, there is a din that the person's mouth touched the shofar when he blows the shofar. And even if the gold is not a chatzitza, his mouth is not touching the shofar. And the halacha is that the mouth has to touch the shofar, and that's why the gold may not be there, but makom hanochas peh. And actually, this concept is relevant for another halacha regarding tekiyas shofar. What would be the din if one could blow the shofar without actually putting his mouth around the shofar? He could blow into the hole, and like that, a sound will come out. Now, according to what we learned from the Avnei Nezer, that tekiyas shofar has to be with the mouth touching the shofar, one who blows shofar in such a fashion will not be mekayim the mitzvah. And we find this concept also regarding hanochas tefillin. That even, says the Chidah and the Avnei Nezer, one could argue that if an item is put on someone's hair, it may not be a chatzitza, but there's a din that the tefillin must touch one's head. And if there's something in between, it lacks in that negiyah, it lacks in that requirement that it touch, and one is not mekayim mitzvahs hanochas tefillin. Similarly, we learned Masechta Yuma, and we learned that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur would go to the mikveh 10 times. And the Mishnah keeps on saying that when the Kohen Gadol would leave the mikveh, olav in the stabek, he would go out and dry himself. And when we learned the Gemara Masechta Yuma, we discussed why does the Mishnah and the Gemara have to keep on teaching us that he had to dry himself? And if there was a little water left on his body, would that water be considered chatzitza? Certainly, it would not be considered chatzitza. However, now the Chidah is teaching us a new din, that the halacha is that the big day kahuna have to touch the body of the kohen. If there's water in between the body and the big day kahuna, even though there's no concern of chatzitza, but he hasn't been mekayim, he hasn't fulfilled the requirement that the big day kahuna touch his body, and therefore Allah for the stabeg, we had to make sure that he dry himself, that he should be able to have the clothing actually touch his body. The Mishnah then taught us that shtei chatzotzos menatzadim, there were two chatzotzos on the side of the shofar. Ask the Gemara, v'trei kaili mimishtami, can one hear two sounds that come at the same time? If they're blowing the shofar and they're blowing the chatzotzos simultaneously, how could you hear? So it's a very fundamental machloikus on how to understand this Gemara. The Turi Evan explains the Gemara that it's impossible to hear both sounds if both are blowing at the same time, but if one concentrates, he can hear one. Or the other approach, which the Ritva seems to learn, Minchas Chinuch seems to learn, is that it's impossible to even hear one sound. If you have two different sounds coming at the same time, that you can't even hear one. So ask the Gemara, v'trei kaili mimishtami, if there are two sounds, if the shofar and the chatzotzos are at the same time, how could you hear either both sounds or even one sound? For Tanya, as we learned in the Brayse of Zoch v'Shomer, we find that in the Seris Hadibris in Parashas Yisroi, the pasuk says Zocher es Yom HaShabbos, which is a mitzvah asay. The pasuk in Parashas Veschanan in the Seris Hadibris says Shomer es Yom HaShabbos. So the Gemara says B'diva Echad Nimra. It was said in one time, Hakadosh Baruch Hu said Zocher v'Shomer at the same time, Mash en apeh yochel adaber, which usually a human being cannot say two different words simultaneously. And furthermore, generally, we can't hear two different things at the same time. So we see that we can't hear two different things at the same time. So how here, where we can be mekayim, the mitzvah of hearing the shofar, if at the same time the chatzotzos are blowing? Answers the Gemara, lekach mark b'shofar. Indeed, that's why the Mishnah says he should continue blowing the shofar. And according to the Ritva's approach, he's mekayim the mitzvah when he hears the shofar after the chatzotzos stop. Because according to Ritva, he cannot hear anything while they were both blowing. According to the Turi Evan, where the fundamental difference between the Turi Evan and the Ritva is that according to Ritva, really on Rosh Hashanah, all one has to hear is the shofar. So even though while the chatzotzos were going, he did not hear the shofar, because when two different sounds are coming, you can't hear either according to Ritva. When the Chatzotra stop, then you hear the Shofar, and you Mekayim Mitzvah Shofar. According to Tori Evan, there's a chiyuv to hear both the sound of the Chatzotris and the sound of the Shofar. So when they're both going, you hear the Chatzotris, you concentrate on the Chatzotris. When the Chatzotris stop, then you hear the Shofar, and you concentrate on the Shofar, and you will have ended up, according to this explanation, hearing both the Chatzotris and the Shofar. Says the Gemara, Lememra, according to this, we would understand, the Chishama Sof Tekiya, if he heard the end of the Tekiya, Blay Tekiya Tekiya, even though he didn't hear the beginning of the Tekiya, at the beginning of the Tekiya, the Chatzotris was still going, still Yotza, or Mela, and we can extrapolate, Tekiya Tekiya, if one would hear the beginning of the Tekiya, Blay Sof Tekiya, even though he didn't hear the end, he was also Yotza, he was also Mekayim the Mitzvah. Toshma will prove that this is incorrect from the following Mishnah. As we will learn later in the Masechta and Daf Lamed Gimel, Midaraisa, we have to hear 9 koilos, 9 sounds on Rosh Hashanah. Tekiya, Trua Tekiya for Zechronius, Tekiya, Trua Tekiya for Malchius, Trua Tekiya, Tekiya for Shofaris. Later on, as we will learn, they instituted Tekiyas the Meyushev and Tekiyas the Mumid, and they weren't sure exactly what a Trua is. So Midaraisa, you have to blow a Tekiya, then a Trua, and then a Tekiya, and then another Tekiya, which will be the Tekiya to precede the next Trua. So the Mishnah discusses Taka Brishona, somebody first blew the first Tekiya, or Moshe Bechshniya Shtayim, then he blew Trua, and the Tekiya after that Trua, where he really has to blow 2 Tekiyas, one for the Tekiya after the Trua, and one for the Tekiya to precede the next Trua, he blew 1 long Tekiya. The halach is en biyodei alachas. It's considered that he only blew 1 Tekiya. And the machlokes Rishonim had to understand this. Most Rishonim seem to say that even though he blew this 1 long Tekiya, he has only fulfilled the requirement of blowing a Tekiya after the Trua. But the requirement to blow another Tekiya before the next Trua, he has not fulfilled. And Moritz Geyer says that he hasn't even fulfilled the Tekiya requirement for after the Trua. Since, says the Moritz Geyer, that he didn't intend, he intended to use the Tekiya for both, which, as we're learning now, is impossible. It's not considered a valid Tekiya, and when the Mishnah says that he has been Yadai Ela Achas, it means the original Tekiya that he blew before the Trua is there, nothing else. But ask the Gemara, Mai, if we learned now that you can Mekayim Tekiya Shofar just with hearing part of it to Salak Levitarti, why can't this 1 long Tekiya serve both as the Tekiya for after the Shvarim and before the Shvarim? Answers the Gemara, Psuki Tekiyosim Adadar Lepreskinan. We cannot split parts of a Tekiya into 2. And therefore, even though if you hear part of Tekiya, it's satisfactory, but to divide 1 Tekiya into 2, the halacha doesn't allow. Ask the Gemara another question. Toshma, we're going to learn the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amid, Hatekele Teich HaBor, if somebody blows a shofar into a pit, Ola Teich HaDus, or into a cistern, Ola Teich HaPitas, or into a large barrel, Im Kol Shofar Shama, if the person hears the Kol Shofar Yotza, he has been Mekayim the Mitzvah Tekiya Shofar, Vim Kol Avar Shama, but if he only heard the echo, if he only heard an echo, Lo Yotza, he's not been Mekayim the Mitzvah. The Machlaikis, what does it mean that he heard the echo? Some say that it's an echo is Yinam Mekayim. Others say an echo is not the issue. The issue is that he might have heard different sounds mixing together, and that is, then he's not Yotza. We're going to learn Havara Mina and Echo. Ask the Gemara Mai, why in such a situation has he not been Mekayim the Mitzvah? Leipik Betchilas Tekiya. Before the echo starts, he does hear a pure sound. So with that sound, why is it not Mekayim the Mitzvah? Mekayim the Lav of Kala, before the echo comes in. Ella, we have to say that hearing part of a shofar Tekiya is not satisfactory. However, Tati kol mekad gavra. If you're going to hear two sounds from one person, that loy mishtamra, that cannot be discerned. However, mitrei gavri, if you're hearing it from two different people, mishtamri. And here, since the shofar and the chatzoitzrus are being blown by different people, so you can rekayim the mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Mitrei gavri mi mishtamra. Is it possible to hear two different sounds from two different people? For Tanya, the Torah, when one is reading the Torah and Shul, Echad Kaira, one person should read the Torah, Vechem Targum. Their meaning was that after each Pasuk was read, somebody would interpret the word that was said that everybody should understand. Ovad, Shleishnaim Karim, you can't have two people read the Torah at the same time, or you can't have two different people interpret or translate the words at the same time. So we see that even though the sounds are coming from different people, we can't hear, we can't say attention can be paid and you'll only hear from one. Answers the Gemara, Hala Damiel Sefer. Let's learn the Sefer of that Mishnah. The Sefer says, but Hallel, regarding when one has to say Hallel, or Megillah, when one reads the Megillah, Afila Sura Kairim, even if there are 10 people reading the Megillah, or 10 people reciting the Hallel, you could be Yoitz the Mitzvah. Almost, what do we see? Kivin the Chavif, since this is something which is especially dear to the person who's listening, Yoav Date, he pays attention, and he hears, he pays attention to one, as Mekayim the Mitzvah with that one person. Hachanami, similarly by Tekiyah Shofar, Kivin the Chaviv, since the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar is so choshev, Yoav Date v'shamei, even if two people are blowing the shofar, he's Mekayim the Mitzvah. And because he could hear it from two different people at the same time. Ask the Gemara if that's the case, that he could hear from two different people at the same time, because he pays attention, and he just pays attention to each sound separately. Ask the Gemara, Lama Mark B'Shofar. So why does the Mishnah say that he has to continue blowing in the Shofar? He heard the Shofar, he heard the Chatzaitris. And it says the Gemara, the entire purpose for continuing to blow with the Shofar after stopping to blow with the Chatzaitris only lay the Shemitzvah Sayyam B'Shofar, to notify everybody that today the main mitzvah is with the Shofar. And as the Mefarshim explained, there's a very significant nafkamina between the way we explain now Lama Marach B'Shofar versus the way we explained it earlier. Earlier we said Marach B'Shofar, he was Mekayim the Mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar only when the Chatzoit should stop. So he has to be careful to blow the Shofar only to the length which it was required to Mekayim the Mitzvah. Because what the Shofar was blowing before was meaningless as far as the Mitzvah is concerned. However, now we're learning that it can be Mekayim the Mitzvah while the Chatzaitzus are being blown. And the entire purpose of blowing the Shofar after the Chatzaitzus stop is only to notify everyone that today's Mitzvah is a Shofar. If that's the case, it would be adequate just to blow the Shofar for a split second to give this notification. The Mefarshim point out that we're saying by Hallel and Megillah, since it's Chaviv, a person pays attention. So Megillah, the Mefarshim say, we could understand why it's Chaviv. It's only read once a year on Purim. But isn't Hallel read and said so many more times during the year? So Mefarshim explain that since the Hallel speaks about the nace of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which was such a wonderful phenomena in our history, every time we hear the Hallel, it's Chaviv, it's something very beloved to us. So Mefarshim asked, by Torah was saying that if two people read the Torah at the same time, we don't pay attention. Isn't the Torah also something beloved to us? So Mefarshim explained that since the halacha, as the Shulchan Aruch teaches us, is that every person has to learn the Torah Shnayim Mikra Vekrit Targum every week, and if you want to do it right, certainly you can't wait till Shabbos morning to Kriyas HaTorah. So if so, by the time one hears the laning Shabbos morning, it's already something that he's familiar with, and that's why it's not chavif. Another pshat is since every Shabbos there's laning, so it's something that happens every week, it happens every Monday and Thursday, that takes away the chavivus. The Prichadush makes an observation. He's saying here, we're saying that even though Trey Kolei Mishtame, if something is chaviv, I could pay attention and hear one, even though there's more than one coil coming at the same time. However, points out the Prichadosh, that if, let's say, I'm blowing the shofar, or I'm blowing the chatzotris rather, and somebody else is blowing the shofar, then one cannot say that I'm paying attention to the shofar. Because if I'm doing something similar to what somebody else is doing, certainly I only will pay attention to what I'm doing, or I'm more likely or more able only to pay attention to what I'm doing versus to what my colleague is doing. We learned in the Mishnah, Betanias Shel Zecharim Kfufim, on the Tanesim they used horns from mail that were bent, or Pimit Super Kesef with plated silver. Ask the Gemara, Mashna Hashem Dazov, why in Rosh Hashanah were they plated with gold? Mashna Hachad the Kesef, and why here were they plated with silver? Answers the Gemara, Ibayema, Kol Knufi the Kesef. Whenever there's a purpose of blowing to get people to assemble, they always used silver instruments. The Kesef, as the Pasuk says, Aseil Choshtei Chatzoytzus Kesef. Vibayema, Hatayra Chasson, Al-Manashisra. The Torah is concerned with Klai Yisrael's money, and they don't want us to spend money on gold, and that's why the Torah says buy silver. So I saw the Mefarshim explain what's pshat in these two terutzim. They explain that there are two conflicting concepts in halacha. On one hand, there's a concept of Ein Aniyus V'Makom Ashiris. In the Beis HaMikdash, everything was done in a very grand style, and therefore gold should be used. On the other hand, we have a concept of a Torah Chasa and a Manim Sheisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was concerned with our money. The first Teretz held that Ein Aniyus V'Makom Ashiris. So really, gold should be used. Why wasn't gold used? Because, says the Gemara, we always use Kesef on Tanaisim. The second Teretz holds HaTorah Chasa HaMonash Yisrael is a more important concept, and that's why we use silver. Ask the Gemara, if HaTorah Chasa HaMonash Yisrael is the overriding concept, so Hachsam Nami Navat Kesef, so Rosh Hashanah also we should use a silver plating. Says the Gemara, because of the covenant of Yontif, we use gold. And as the Mashah explains, the Gemara says that all Haitzos, all of a person's income and expenses are predetermined in Rosh Hashanah, chutz mitzah Shabbos v'shu Yontif, besides what's spent on Shabbos and Yontif. So therefore, says the Mashah, even if they're going to spend a lot of money to buy gold plating for the shofar, but it's a Hitzahs Yontif, and they'll get back their money, and therefore we don't have to be concerned about a Torah Chasov of Manishu Yisrael. Rashi says here, how do we know our Torah Chosso of a Manim Shisrael? So Rashi quotes, because the Torah tells us that if one suspects that he has a nega, that his house is afflicted with Saras, he should call the Kayin to examine the home. And the Torah says, Ufinu Asabayis, they should take out all of the utensils from the house. So Rashi explains, which utensils are we referring to? We're obviously not referring to metal utensils, because even if metal utensils are in the house, after it's declared Tomei, we could take those utensils to the mikveh. It must be Kli Cheres, which are inexpensive utensils, and yet the Torah says, Ufino Sabayis, make sure to take them out before the house becomes Tomei, because they cannot become pure again. The Noida Yehuda points out that there's another source that HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaTorah Chasa HaManush Yisrael, because the Gemara says in Masechta Menachos that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Veshkisa Es Ha'eda Vespi'iram, take the water out of the stone and give the people and their animals to drink. So you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned with our animals, with our property. Says another Yehuda, why do I need two psukim to teach the same concept? So it says, each pasuk teaches us something unique. The pasuk of Hishkisav Eidav Sabirom teaches us that even their nes occurred, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs miracles for the moment of Klal Yisrael. Even for the animals of Klal Yisrael does HaKadosh Baruch Hu perform miracles. But if I only had that pasuk, says the Night of Yehuda, I would think that's only when we're referring to all of Klal Yisrael. How do we know that Torah Chos of Amanim Shei Yisrael, even of every individual? So we learned that from Finuas Abayas, take out the Kalim of this one individual. Says the Gemara, Rapapa Bashmul Sovel Mevet Uvna Kmas Nisan. Rapapa Bashmul wanted to act, as we learned in our Mishnah, that on Shaif or Hashana, he wanted to blow a Shaif and Chatzaitris. Amalei Rava, so Rava told him, Lai Amar Elba Mikdash. This din was only said in the base of Mikdash. Tanya Nami Hachi, Bemadvar Mamurim, when is the concept that we learned in our Mishnah with the Chatzaitris and the Shaifer blown together said? Bemikdash, in the base of Mikdash. Ab Gvulim, outside the base of Mikdash, Makam Shiyesh Chatzaitris. When we blow Chatzaitris, that means, like on Tanesim, and Shaifer. And Makam Shiyesh Shaifer, when we blow Shaifer on Rosh Hashanah, and Chatzaitris, we don't blow Chatzaitris. The Kain Hinig, Rav Chalaf to Betzapuri, Rav Chananya ben Tradi Besichni. Kshabar Dove Etzel Chamim, when this question came to Cham Amru, Loya Yenag Kain, this minig of blowing both Chatzaitris and Shaifer only was Beshari Mizrach Behar Ba'ez Bovad, on the eastern gate of the Beis HaMikdash. Ravi Temer Beshu ben Levi. Micro, how do we see this from a pasuk that this din that we blow chatzaitrus and shayfer together only applies in the base of Mikdash? Because the pasuk says, "Bechatzaitrus because shayfer hari lefnei melech Hashem." Lefnei melech Hashem, only when we stand in front of God in the base of Mikdash, that's when be'inon chatzaitrus because shayfer that we blow both the chatzaitrus and the shayfer. Abba alma, elsewhere loy, that din doesn't apply. The Tanakhama also taught us in the Mishnah that Shoivel Yoivel Rosh Hashanah Tekiel Brachos. Yoivel Rosh Hashanah have the same din as far as what is used to blow the Shoifer on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur of Yoivel, and the Nusach, what we say in the Brachos, in the Shemoneh Esrei. Omer Av Shmuel Bayitzchak, Commandment Selina Ha'idna. When we say in Shemoneh Esrei on Rosh Hashanah, Zeh HaYoyim Tchilas Masecha, this is the anniversary of your work, Zikaronu Yom Rishon, a remembrance of the first day, command, Trebelezer. It's going according to Trebelezer, Dama B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, who said the world was created in Tishrei. And as we learned earlier in the Masechta, really the world, the Sheish Yishmei Bereishis, according to Trebelezer, began on Chaf Hei Elul. However, the Adam HaRishon was created on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, and the entire purpose of the creation was for Adam HaRishon. So that's why on Rosh Hashanah we say Zeh HaYoyim Tchilas Masecha. Mos Ravena, ask Ravena, we learned in our Mishnah Shaiva Yoyevel Rosh Hashanah L'Tkiel HaBrachas, that the same Shemoneh Esrei that's said on Rosh Hashanah is said on Yom Kippur Yoyevel of Yoyevel. Ask the Gemara V'ke Zeh HaYoyim Tchilas Masecha Zikaron Yoyim Rishin. We have these words, the Rosh Hashanah Isa, that are appropriate to be said in Rosh Hashanah, which is when the world was created. However, B'Yoyevel Esa, they're not appropriate to be said on Yoyevel. So why do we use those words in the Shemoneh Esrei of Yoyevel? Answers the Gemara, Ki K'tani, when the Mishnah says that Rosh Hashanah and Yoyevel are the same, Ashara, it's referring to all the other dinim, not to this din. Rosh Hashanah, David Masnehachi, Amr Shubha Yitzchak, Hadatnan. This that we learned in the Mishnah, Shava Yovel Rosh Hashanah Lutkil Lebrachis, that the Tanakhama says that we have this similarity on Yovel and Rosh Hashanah command. The Tanakhama cannot be going, the like Rebbe Lezer, cannot be going according to Rebbe Lezer. Because the Rebbe Lezer, if he's going to hold Rebbe Lezer, Kivan the Amar B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, if Rebbe Lezer said the B'Tishrei, the world was created, so we will say in the Shemoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, Hekazah Yoyim Tchilas Masecha, Zikaron Yoyim Rishon, that is only appropriate to Rosh Hashanah Isa, that should be said in Rosh Hashanah, or B'Yoyevel Esa, but shouldn't be said in Yoyevel. So it must be that the Tanakh of our Mishnah is not going according to Rebbe Lezer. Answers the Gemara, Kik Tani. No, the Mishnah, the Tana of our Mishnah can even go according to Belezer. Ashara, when the Tana says that Yovel and Roshan are the same, it's referring to all the other dinim, not to this Nusach. The Tosfos asks here that we know that we say in Rosh Hashanah and our Tfilos, Zay Yoim Tchilos Masecha, Zay currently Yoim Rishon. But as Tosfos, earlier in the Masechta, we said that we hold like Rabbi Shua, that the Nisan Nivra Olam. So how can we say this? So Tosfos answers that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Tishrei Olam B'machshava decided to create the world, but he did not actually create it until Nisan. So that's why we could say Zeh Yom Tefilas Masecha. Even we who hold like Rabbi Shua that the world was actually created in Nisan could say Zeh Yom Tefilas Masecha in Tishrei. It refers to the Machshava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he decided to create the world in Tishrei. And actually that's Pshat, what we say in the Shemona Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, Hayoim Haras Olam. It doesn't say Hayoim Brias Olam. Today is the day HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. We say Hayoim Haras Olam. Haras was pregnant. The world was conceived on this day, but it wasn't actually created until Nisan. When the Farshim ask, obviously, by human being, there's a planning stage and then an implementation stage. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different. He could plan and implement simultaneously. So why did he create the world in two stages? So first answer, and it really goes back to Rashi in beginning in Parashas Bereishis. Rashi says in beginning in Parashas Bereishis that originally HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world but Midas Hadin, with a stricter measure. But he saw the Rosh Ein Olam Eskayim, that the world cannot exist that way, so he changed it to Midas Harachamim. Says Seder Mefarshim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally wanted to create the world in Tishrei. Tishrei, we know, is the time of Din. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. But then he saw if that's the way the world will be created, Ein Olam Eskayim, the world cannot exist that way, and that's why he changed and only implemented the creation of the world in Nisan. Nisan is the time of Nisim, the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the time of Rachamim, and that's the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. Continues the Mishnah in discussing the Shofar. Shofar Shenizdak, a Shofar that split. So Rashi learns the Shofar split into two pieces, and it was glued together. The Ramban and Tosfos take issue with that pshat, because the Ramban says, according to that, isn't that the next case of the Mishnah? A divrei of dibek shivrei shofars, the one glued together, and therefore the Ramban says that what happened here was that the first case of the Mishnah, a shofar shenizdak, was that he heated this crack and fused it together and didn't use glue, and it's possible. It's the next din that teaches us that he used glue. Tosfos learns that he did not use heat nor glue, that that's not pshat in the Mishnah. Rather, Tosfos says that the case here was that the shofar just cracked and he's holding it together. And when it's cracked, it's not considered a shofar. There's a machloikis harishonim, according to this pshat, how much does it have to be cracked? According to the Ritva, it has to be cracked beroiv. If mostly it's cracked, that would be possible. The Rosh seems to learn that even if it's partially cracked, it's possible, because when one will start blowing it to the shofar, the pressure of the shofar will expand the crack. Continues the Mishnah. Dibek shivrei shofars. If one put together pieces of various shofars to form one shofar, puzzle. Again, this is a disqualified puzzle. Tosfos says, because that's not called a shofar. Another pshat, Tosfos says, is that the Torah uses vahavarta. It has to be the way the shofar was created. Gluing together pieces of a shofar is not vahavarta. Another pshat is that the Torah says shofar, one shofar should be used, v'loy shnayim v'shalosh shofars, not a combination of a number of shofars put together. Nikev, if the shofar was punctured, the sosmai, and he seals the hole, im akiv tkiya, if it holds back the blowing possible, v'mlav kosher. So the machlokes rishonim, how to understand this case, this also. The Rosh learns that if, because of the seal of the patch, the rigid, we now have a different sound of the shofar, then the shofar is possible. But if it comes back to the original sound, it's kosher. The Ravid has a different approach. The Ravid's approach is, we have to examine the shofar when it has this hole. If, when it has this hole, one blows into the shofar and a sound will not be produced, then, and then when we patch it up, a sound is produced. So it's a proof that what's making the shofar into the shofar is the patch, and therefore it's possible. However, if when it had the hole, the shofar still produced the sound, then even though we patched it up, it's still going to be kosher because the patch really didn't accomplish that much. The Ramah says that one should be careful not to blow with a shofar that has a hole. However, says the Mishnah Berurah, that one doesn't have to be super careful to examine the shofar if it has a hole or not. Because as we just learned, as long as the shofar could produce a sound, it's obvious that the hole isn't really affecting the shofar, and therefore the shofar remains kosher. Hatakei l'tach abar, one blows into a pit, l'tach hadas, or into, is an above ground pit, like a cave, cistern, or to take a pitus into a large barrel, im kol shofar shomer, if he heard the kol shofar yotze, he's been kind the mitzvah, mekol avar shomer, if he only hears the sound of the shofar's echo, lo yotze, he's not been kind the mitzvah. And as the Ran explains, the reason that the Mishnah mentions this case, because in previous times, the goyim did not allow us to be Mekayim the mitzvah of shofar, and they had to find different ways of blowing the shofar that it should not that be obvious that they were Mekayim the mitzvah. The Kain continues the Mishnah. Mishaya over Achuri Beis Haknesses. If somebody was walking behind the shul, or Yishaya Beisai Samuch LeBeis Haknesses, or his home was near the shul, the shama kol shofar, and he hears the kol shofar, or kol megillah, or he hears the kol megillah, im kiven liboy, if he intended to mekayim the mitzvah, yotza. Vimlav, la yotza. Abish zeh shama zeh shama, even though they both heard the same kol shofar, zeh kiven liboy, the one who had kavona, was mekayim the mitzvah, but zeh loy kiven liboy, the one who did not have kavona, was not mekayim the mitzvah. And as the Tosfos Yontov explains, the V'chein, what the similarity between this case and the previous case, in both of these cases, the person is not in the same place as where the shofar is being blown. However, as Tosfos explained, the issue here is not the same issue as we discussed in Masechta Erevin, that when we need a minyan, everybody has to be in the same room. That's not the issue here. There, by a minyan, the halacha is that it should be considered a minyan, everybody has to be in the same room. This has nothing to do with that. The Retvaz makes an interesting point in understanding this Mishnah. He says, our Mishnah only discusses someone who wasn't actually in the shul as the shofar was being blown. He was walking outside, or he lived next door. And what would be if he were inside the shul? V'loy kiven liboy, and he didn't intend to be mekayim the mitzvah. He was also not yoytza. So why doesn't our Mishnah mention that case? Says the Ritvaz, there's a fundamental difference between the person standing in the shul versus the somebody standing outside the shul. When somebody is in the shul, even if he didn't conscientiously think about being mekayim the mitzvah, he's yoytze the mitzvah. Because the assumption is that one who comes to shul to hear the shofar is coming to be mekayim the mitzvah. So even if he didn't necessarily know that he's been having the right kavani, he was mekayim the mitzvah. And the Chayei Adam uses this concept regarding Krishma. The halacha is we have to say Krishma and we have to have kavana every time. Says the Chai Adam, if one comes to shul to daven and he's wearing talis and tefillin and he's saying Krishma, even though he is not sure that he had the right kavana, that he was mechavin to mekayim the mitzvah, he doesn't have to repeat the Krishma. His being in shul and talis and tefillin is an indication that he wanted to mekayim the mitzvah. Similarly, if somebody's eating matzah by the Seder, says the Chai Adam, even though you have to have kavana to mekayim the mitzvah, eating by the Seder matzah, we could assume he's being mekayim the mitzvah. However, when somebody's not in that setting, we have to know for sure, kivein liboy, that he had kavana. But of course, the Mishnah Brura, who quotes this Chai Adam, says that it's certainly always preferable for one to specifically have kavana to be mekayim the mitzvah as HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked us to. Tana Rabbanan, Aruch, if a shofar was long, v'katzroi, and somebody shortened it, that, says Tosfos, is not a problem of a havarta, that we said before that the shofar has to be used as it was created, that it's still considered kosher. Gardoi, if he scraped the shofar, v'midoi al gildoi, and he now only has a very thin layer, kosher. Still, the shofar is kosher. Again, we have to be careful, as we mentioned before, that there should be no holes in the shofar, that no ear escape through those holes. Continues the Braisa. Suppose of, if one plated the shofar gold, where he puts his mouth, and we discussed this at the beginning of the shiur, so we won't repeat it, possible, the shofar is disqualified. Shalai b'makam ha'nachas peh, elsewhere, it's kosher. Suppose of, if he put gold inside the shofar, posel. It is posel because the sound that's being produced is being produced by the gold plating and not by the shofar. Or, as the Rishonim say, any small amount of plating will affect the sound of the shofar, and therefore it's posel. Mevichutz, if you put gold on the outside, im nishtana koyle mekamay shahaya, if it changes the sound, posel. Vimlav, but if it doesn't, kosher, the shofar remains kosher. Nike v'sosmai, if there was a hole in the shofar and he sealed it, imak v'satkiya, again, this is a din we learned in the Mishnah, imak v'satkiya posel, vimlav, kosher. Nosen shofar b'taych shofar, if one put one shofar inside another shofar, in kol pnimi shama, if he hears the sound of the inner shofar alone, yotza, then he has been kaim the mitzvah. But if he hears the sound of the outer shofar, lo yotza. The Rosh says that this will only be kosher if the outer shofar does not change the sound in any way. Furthermore, the Rishonim say that the shofar, inner shofar, must protrude beyond the outer shofar, certainly when he's putting it in the place where he's putting it into the mouth, and it seems from the Shulchan Aruch also on the wide side. Others say that the Rambam to say doesn't have to protrude on the wide side, and the Farshim say that there's really no machlokes. The point is that it certainly can't be shorter, the inner shofar can't be shorter, and if you want to be sure that it's not shorter, it has to be longer. Tana Rabbanan, Gardai, if somebody scraped the shofar, whether he did it from the inside, whether from the outside, kosher. Gardai, if he scraped it from midai al gildai and left it with a very thin layer, kosher, it's kosher. Hiniach shofar b'toich shofar, similarly, if you put one shofar and another shofar, in kol pnimi shama, as we just explained, if he heard the inner coil, he's yotza. If somebody reversed the shofar and he blew into it, he has not mekayim the mitzvah. Amar Papa, when it says here that he reversed it, don't say means that he reversed it like one reverses a shirt that he wore, that he turned it inside out. Ella, that if he widened the narrow end, the kitzas arachav, and he narrowed the wide end, it's also possible. Some say that actually that hofcha kikatuna is not necessarily possible. It's only this case that's possible. Machlokes rishonim. My tama, why is there a halacha that if he did this, it's possible? Krab masna, damar masna vavarta. As we said, the Torah said you should blow the shofar as derech avaros abinun. It has to be in the way it was carried on the animal's head. Dibek shofar shofaris. The Mishnah said if somebody joined pieces of shofar with glue, it's possible. Tanabon. If somebody added to the shofar, whether it's own kind, it's possible. Nikav v'sasmai, if he has a hole and he closed it up, whether he used the shofar or a different type of material, it's possible. Nasama b'minai kosher, shlobi minai possible. Does machlakis reshinim, when Reb Nosson says b'minai kosher, what does it mean? Does it mean that he has to use a min of a kosher shofar, but it doesn't have to be from the same animal, as long as it's from a kosher shofar, that's considered a kosher patch, or does it have to be from the type of animal that this shofar that I have in front of me comes from? But min a kosher, Reb Nosson said, as we just learned, that if he sealed the shofar with its own kind, the material, it's kosher. As long as the majority of the original shofar remains intact. Mechlal, if it, we don't have, without it's that type of material, even if most of the original shofar remained, it will still be possible. There's a different version of Yochanan. Shleimer mina possible. When we said that you can't use a different type of material, it's possible. Says Rabbi Yochanan, when v'shunef chasrubai, if most of the shofar is missing, mechlal d'v'minoi, if most of the shofar is there, apli shunef chasrubai, even though the majority of the shofar is there, it's kosher. Tzipur zavim efnim. We learned in the Brisa that gold was put inside. The loch is that it's possible. V'mechutz, but if it was put on the outside. If the sound changes, possible. If the shofar was split along its length, possible. If it's split along its width, if the mount enough to blow remains, kosher. Possible. He should hold it in his hand. The shofar is still visible on both sides, which most poskim say is a tefach. And the mefarshim asked, so why doesn't the Gemara say a tefach? Because it depends on the size of the Baal Tekeah's hand. If a person has a larger hand, he has to have a larger shofar. If he has a smaller hand, he could use a smaller shofar. Because the reason why the shear is that the shofar should be so large that it's in my hand and stick out on both sides, that should be obvious that I'm blowing into the shofar, not blowing into my hand. Haya koilai dak, if the sound was very thin, or ava very thick, or tsar the horse, kosher. Shakala koilas sherim b'shofar. All different sounds are kosher for the shofar. Tver Shleim explains, kala koilas sherim b'shofar means to say that during the time of shofar, during Rosh Hashanah, all of our koilos of tefillah, and our koilos of Torah, k'sherim b'shofar, make the tekiyah shofar become accepted by Kadosh Baruch Hu to give us a slich of a kapara. However, there is an interesting machlokes between the Maril Diskin and the Chazon Ish. The Maril Diskin says that even though all koilos are kosher b'shofar, that means if I blow the tekiyah and one type of sound comes out, and then I blow another tekiyah and a different type of sound comes out, that's kosher. However, says the Maril Diskin, during one tekiyah, it should be consistent, the same koil. It shouldn't go higher and lower, or hoarse and not hoarse. Chazon Ish disagrees. He says even during one tekiyah, it could, even if the sound changes, it's still kosher. Shalach leil avudashal. Kotcha v'takaba. As we learned, the shofar is made out of a filling, out of the zachris. If somebody made a hole and blew into it, yotza. Pshita. Kulanami matcha kotcha leil. Isn't that the way a shofar is made, that the zachris is removed? Omer Rav Ashi, kotcha v'schusay. that he made a hole in the Zachris and remained it, left it there. Since the Zachris is the same as the Nakfas, the same type of material, it should be Chatzitza, K'mashmon, that it's not. We learned in the Mishnah, Hatikel Techabal Techados, if somebody blows into the pit, if he heard the call Shofar, he's Mekayim the Mitzvah, if he heard the call Avar, he's not. The issue in the Mishnah that the Mishnah is discussing is only regarding people who are standing on the outside of the pit. Those in the pit certainly heard the call Shofar and Yotzah, the woman came to Mitzvah. Tanya Nami Hachi, Hatikel Techabal Techados Yotzah. He was Yotzah. Vatnan lo Yotzah. Alash Mami Mak Rav Huna. We have to make Rav Huna's distinction between the person inside the pit and the person outside the pit. Shmami no. Ika de Ramarai Mirma. There's another version of this Gemara in a question answer form. Tanan, Hatikel Techabal Techabos lo Yotzah. If you blew into the pit, you're not Yotzah. Vatanya, we learned the bright Yotzah. He was Mekayim the Mitzvah. Rav Huna lo Kasha. Those that are sitting outside the pit, so they might have heard the echo, they were not Mekayim. Those in the pit who heard the sound of the shofar were Mekayim the Mitzvah.